This is a production of Cornell University.
And so just a few housekeeping notes here. As you can see, the setup is a little bit different this week. Liz has been doing a lot of experimenting and working with all the facilities to make sure that we have a setup that is conducive to our meetings, structure our meetings. So one thing that we have this week are four mics. So on each table, you'll see two mics. So if you want to speak, you can pass the mic within your session. Right now, it's currently set to mute, but if you pick, Shavis, keep passing that mic. Thank you. So if you pick up the mic, the button that says mute, just click unmute or click the mute button again, and it'll come on, and then you can use it, and then click it again when you're done so that you're not, so they can't hear you once you're done speaking. Okay. Let's see. Also, voting members, as much as possible, please arrive a little early so you make sure that you can get a seat in this area so we can see you and hear you. That'd be great. And we'll go ahead and get started. Or before I get started, are there any other questions on the mic or any kind of logistics? Okay, if not, we'll go ahead and get started. So we'll start off with the approval of the minutes. They were printed and distributed at the front table. Are there any corrections to the minutes as printed? Yes.
Somebody grab the mic?
Yes, if you could.
Wait, so I had a correction on the bottom of page 3, on top of page 4, if you could change Tim to Todd.
Okay, Tim to Todd, yes, I definitely called him Tim last week, okay. So Tim to Todd, okay, are there any objections making that correction? Okay, and Matt, you had a correction?
Yeah, on the first section, the first one where it says most voting members absent listed by almost all of the names of the voting members, it should say voting members present.
Okay. Okay, any objections to listing voting members present by those who are present? If not, that correction will be made. Any other corrections to the minutes as printed? Okay, if there are no other corrections, the minutes will be, the minutes are approved as updated. And now we're going to go into our presentation. So we have two presentations today. First, we're going to talk about dental insurance, and then we're going to talk about workers' compensation. Actually, Paul Berry will be covering both those topics, and Paul's been doing a really great job and a lot of research on different advocacy topics, him and the advocacy committee as a whole. So we're thankful for that. And help me in welcoming Paul. You want to?
Yes.
Okay. Just hit on the mute button. Is it flashing green? Okay. Thank you.
Hello. Okay. Sorry about that. Hello again. So today I'm just going to run through some proposed improvements to the student dental insurance plan. Following the resolution we passed last May, and Ian Mahoney is here from the Health Services to answer questions or correct me if I'm making mistakes. So if you remember from last year or from just reading the plan yourself, the current CHIP dental plan has some issues. First of all, there's very low maximum benefits. There's no cover for major dental care expenses, and there's really little or no advantage to having a plan compared to having no insurance at all. We kind of did this cost comparison with a spreadsheet last year, so I'll provide that to anyone if you'd like to see that. Can we go on to the next slide? So the proposed changes, we've been working with Gannett, Ian Mahoney, Joanne Walt, one of our keepers, and Craig Pallister at Gannett. They've been very helpful, and we've gotten back from the insurance company some options for things we could use to improve the plan next year. So today, the idea is just to briefly run through some of these changes and discuss what we would like. So basically, if you took a look at the big charts or spreadsheets that are sent out and is also printed at the back. There's a lot of different numbers on there, and basically we have to come up with one plan option for everyone, for all graduate and undergraduate students at Cornell. We don't necessarily have a binding vote on that because it affects not only graduate students, but we do have certainly some input. So if you have, I should also say, if you have comments or questions, feel free to contact me personally after the meeting with a lot of whatever you want. So there are three major proposed changes, and various iterations of each change that you see on the spreadsheet. The first is to shift the maximum benefit upward. So currently it's $750 is the maximum benefit you get from your $270 that you're buying into the plan. So the proposal is to shift that to either $1,000, $1,500, or $2,000, which would be the maximum benefit you get in a current plan year. The next set of changes is cover additional services. So third molar, wisdom teeth extraction, third generation would cover those at 50% of the cost, and then also major services, including third molar, but in addition to crown, implants, prosthetics, et cetera. And just to clarify, root canals are not included as a major service. So just in the basic plan option, root canals are covered, but that's not a major service. And then the final improvement is something called the premium plus plan option. And under these policies, the cost of preventative services, such as evaluations, screenings, and x-rays, don't contribute to the annual maximum. So for instance, if the annual maximum is set at $1,000, the cost is incurred having a cleaning, x-ray, evaluation, they don't add on to that $1,000. So that's a pretty big change, because if you just go to the dentist by yourself, looking at the data we looked at for the zip code last year, and you get those three things, evaluating, cleaning, x-ray, it's going to cost about $300, no insurance. And for adding on about $15 or $20 per year to the plan, we can get these things. We can have them on the plan and have them not contribute to the annual maximum. So I think that if there's anything that's kind of a no-brainer, it's adding these options on. I think we can go to the next slide. And so I just tried to simplify that, the many numbers in that spreadsheet into a few items. So these are the options. If we add the preventive plus, and then we're looking at the different levels of coverage on the left column. So at $750, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000. And then the row, that's the cost of the premium for the year if we added either just preventive plus or preventive plus third molars or all major services. And just to reiterate that the third molars and major services are only covered at 50%. So you can see how the premiums increase. And of course, with more coverage, we're getting increased premiums, but I think what we should all discuss or give more thought to is, how much we're willing to pay in premiums, how much coverage we want or need, and then how important are these other services, the third molars or major services. Again, do you have anything to add to that? Any discussion or thoughts there?
I have a question.
Yes.
How many of you have ever actually purchased a dental insurance plan?
I think a lot more than I thought.
Oh, and once you purchase it, is it still be like $336 instead of $271, or is that like the absolute maximum you would ever pay for that or dental coverage?
I don't know what it covers.
Okay, but if there's not like a, or would never pay more than $300 for dental insurance.
I think each person's rates might be a little different. So like, I don't have. So like I don't have third molar, so that's not going to be a thing for me. But like major services, that would be something.
You hit the mute button. Yeah.
I think one of the things to kind of look at is
being that it's, you know, for a few people that actually did the dental insurance, it's a lot more than it did. And both the barriers of people not getting this insurance. I know personally, I didn't get it. My brother was actually dead. I didn't get it because it's literally almost at cost of what you were paying out of pocket. You know, for if you just went to any dental service, you got clean, you got just regular maintenance, and did that twice, that would literally be the exact amount that was should cover, which is maintenance and, you know, two dental checkups. So it doesn't really make any sense. I think though, I would definitely get this insurance, you know, versus, you know, maybe something outside, which I have now, but if it covers, this seems like it covers a lot more, so it'll be well worth it, because you get into, if you do anything third over, that's $800 if they just snatch it out, you know. So I think by raising the premium, if you raise the benefits, more people will be apt to get the insurance out of it.
And just a reminder to turn on the mic, just hit the mute button on the bottom, on the side, sorry.
Well, I was just wondering why, like, other universities. So, like, why isn't this included in our health insurance to begin with? And are we stuck with just this one provider? Like, is there any way we could get competitive rates? Because, like, I know that other universities have dental insurance included in their health insurance premium. And it seems, I mean, this is definitely a step in the right direction, but it's still kind of ridiculous that we pay so much for so little.
At least the peer institutions we compare, everyone had a similar setup to this that we pay in addition for the dental coverage. I'm not an apologist for that system, but it was something that was pretty common. And dental insurance, just looking across the board and comparing employee programs and other student programs, unfortunately, I think we just have to set our expectations somewhat low. It's not very good compared to what you get under general health insurance coverage.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they kind of two different entities, health and dental insurance, so they can't really be thought of in the same way. So I can't speak to why schools choose to not or have their insurance be included or not included, but what I can tell you is that the premiums, as Paul talked about, we've worked a lot in other peer institutions, and the premiums are competitive as well.
I think I had to learn is that dental insurance is not actually an insurance, it's a coverage, so it's not my health insurance. Doesn't make sense to me either. It seems to be two different therapies.
Thank you for clarifying.
Okay, and I think there was one other question in the back there.
The plan has preferred providers, and those are all, when you get on the plan there, you can go on the website, and we also looked it up. And there are a couple of dozen in this area alone that you can go to and take the plan. The special thing about those providers is they take the rates from the insurance company, so you're not left with the same thing. You can go to anybody else, you can go to any dentist you want, but you'll pay more. You don't go to the providers. So. But it's very easy. There's really easy on this website that tells you all about where to go, who to go to, and tips for how to talk to them about what you need done. So. The providers will stay the same, but there's already a pretty extensive group of people in the area that offer and pay for some.
Okay, and this is the last question that we have time for.
Is it possible to have like the addition of the third molar or the other major surgery optional for people who select when they get their preventative?
Unfortunately, as Paul mentioned at the very beginning, it's one plan for the whole school. unfortunately, it doesn't really work for some people to pick certain parts of that. But I think you did a good job of highlighting some of the major additions and kind of what affected on that one.
Okay, thank you. And then, so Paul is going to do the next presentation as well on workers' compensation. And after that, I will do the introduction of the voting members with all the housekeeping. I got a little excited and skipped over that. So he's going to take 5 minutes and go over an update on workers' comp. And we probably won't have a lot of time for questions. We might have time for one or two questions.
Okay, thank you. And I'll try to be brief. And thank you for coming. So just an update from everything that happened since last meeting 2 weeks ago where we voted and passed the workers' comp resolution. The first thing was that we did receive written answers from administrators to questions we had submitted actually before the CPSA meeting, questions we had submitted in January, clarifying the basic policy if a student gets hurt in a workplace accident on campus, and clarification on the legal regulation that would prevent graduate students from having workers' comp coverage. So basically, the current policy is that these situations are handled on a case-by-case basis. So you would work through your DGS and work through the dean's office, the graduate school, et cetera. And we were given, I don't know how to talk for 2 months, there's a lot said in the document, but basically things are handled on a case-by-case basis. And graduate students are not covered under New York State workers' compensation law in almost every circumstance, except for a few hypothetical situations where they would be. I don't have time to explain that. But the simple answer is no, you're not covered by workers' comp. So those were basically the responses we received, and then we had a meeting with administrators on February 17th, so that was last Monday. And in that meeting, I think a lot more legal questions were raised. Just to briefly run through this, we were told that as graduate students, we're generally not covered, and that also it is in our interest not to be covered, because under workers' comp law, you would forfeit your right to sue for negligence. And just kind of a historic feature of workers' comp law. And also that future disability payments would be made based on your current wages as a student, so that if you were to sue, you might likely receive something more than the disability payment that would be tied to your current, $25,000 a year that you're able to make. But upon further questioning, we really didn't get a clear answer as to why workers' comp would be good for employees and bad for students, given that virtually every employee of any type in New York State is covered by workers' comp. Seems like they would be angry about that. So not being a lawyer, I don't want to speculate more on this, but I should say right now we're seeking outside legal guidance and clarification about this issue. Moving forward, the advocacy committee, we're going to start a blog in the next week or two. I would like to post a document in response to that so that there's more transparency, everyone can read it. Clarification of legal matters, as I said, and feel free to bring this up at the time of the discussion also. I'll talk more about that more.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we have time for a couple questions. Yes.
So I just happened to talk on the PowerPoint page. Stumble from a webpage on the Signet slide on workers' compensation, and it lays out the details. And it refers to Cornell employees being covered. But at least a lot of my friends who are teaching assistants, I don't think they're aware that they have employees. So I was wondering if the advocacy group could maybe reach out to the net and ask them to add like one line to that page specifying that when they say employees, they mean staff or any graduate students, just so I don't want any other graduate students coming across that page and misunderstanding and thinking that they are actually covered when they're not. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something we hear from pretty much everyone, that there's just a lot of misinformation. Everyone seems to think that they're covered. So if anyone has any ideas on more public information, how we can best make sure everyone knows that they're not, that would be very helpful.
other, we have time for one other question. If there is another question? Okay, if not, thank you, Paul, and thanks to the advocacy committee. They've done a lot of great work on this, and so we really appreciate that. So we'll go back and do the introduction of the voting members. Drop off the PowerPoint. So. Okay. So David Bunk.
Here.
John.
Here.
Alex.
Here.
Michaela.
Here.
Tim.
Here.
Zine.
Here.
Liz Newberry.
Here.
Liz Murnane.
She sent an apple.
Okay. Matt.
Here.
Anne.
Six, right?
Okay. Giovanna.
Here.
Adrian.
Here.
Serena.
Also absent.
And I am here. Asma.
Here.
Stephanie.
Here.
Franny.
Here.
Sid. Oh, Sid is stepping down. And then Ian. And Ian did reach out ahead of time as well. Okay. And so my mic here is cutting out. Can you pass me that mic? I'm going to use that one. Okay, so at this time we'll go into our updates from our committee chair. And first up we have the executive committee. So I don't think I didn't have a whole lot of updates. Don, did you have updates on committees?
No.
Okay. And other updates?
We're going to be doing the... we're going to go over this later, but the breakout sessions are for our President Gorton's visit for next week. So please be here. There'll be good food, I'm sure, because President Gorton's here.
Okay. And appropriations, Ian is not able to make it today, but I know that in the next meeting, he's planning on bringing up the student activity fee and making sure that we approve one last piece of it, the appendix, sorry, of the student activity fee document. So that will be at our next meeting, and then we'll have our update from communications.
Right here.
So first of all, today we had the GPSA bus go out. Yay! Big round of applause to the Office of Assembly for helping with the new look. And a lot of the reason for the delay is we wanted to get it up on a new interface, which allows us to do crazy things like check click-through rates and have it be able to be read on mobile phones. So, yay for Office of Assemblies on that. We also had a coffee talk today, which was a very soft start. But basically, every Monday for the next couple of weeks, until through like April or so, we'll be having from 2 to 3 p.m. in the Big Red Barn free coffee and tea for all graduate students. I was there today, and I was severely outnumbered by undergraduate students at the Big Red Barn. So I literally went around to the entire barn, and I found like one other grad student out of like a 60 table or so. So please tell your friends. It's free coffee and tea. Next week we'll have one of the professionalization services there. We'll also have PALS the following week, and I'll send out an email of reminders about the coffee talk. This is a great program through the grad school. So that's it.
Okay, and I'm giving the update to the Finance Commission again. So I'm working with Dan right now to do a resolution that's similar to the one that we have from appropriations to change the tenure of the committee chair, because the similar problems were with the complex system that you need to learn. I also have a bunch of really important dates that any of you who are a part of FD-funded organizations will let you know. We'll also be sending those out, but just to run through them quickly, the next special project request deadline is February 28th at 4 p.m. After that, there's one on April 4th. And here's the big thing. So May 27th is the deadline for the submission of all expenses back in this academic year. And so if you do not get your reimbursement and payment request for this current academic year, all remaining funds will be delivered back to GPSAFP. And there are thousands of dollars that are going to go on you, which is why I really try to be very careful about the money that we're putting out. Another good thing that appropriations is doing is that they're actually going to have a seminar on how to put together an annual budget So if you're part of a group who has been having difficulty putting together a budget, or if you know anyone in your field who's interested in putting together an organization, this is definitely something you should come out to. This is going to be on April 12th, 2 to 4 p.m. in Sibley, in room 115. And so the commissioner will be there to answer questions: how to use the working budget system, how funding guidelines work, and how to reimbursement procedures work as well. And then at the end of April, annual budgets will be due, and there will also be the summer budgets due during June. So again, just in brief, the things that are coming up before us are the final deadline for reimbursement payments, special project request deadline, and we will also be forwarding to all of you guys the report on your field.
Thank you. And programming?
So,
and you just want to...
You hit the mute button if it's not green, and when it's green, it's ready to go.
So there's an inter-school mixer this Thursday, February 27th, from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Big Red Barn, and we will be mixing computer science, Johnson Business School, and communication, but everybody's welcome to come. And remember, there's three schools, and it's really fun. It has been really popular. And the other good news is that we have decided a place for the grad ball. It will be at the Museum of the Earth, so it's going to be called Grad Ball 2014, a night at the museum. It's going to be amazing. There's so many cool activities going on. Like, I'm so excited with the organization. There's a lot of people organizing here. And the food is going to be really good. I want to say restaurants now, but like the candidate restaurants are amazing. And we're going to have a shop that we had last year that's really expensive, that's really bad quality, because we're working on that. So it's going to be on April 26th, and it's going to be super fun. So please save the day and let everybody know about it.
Thanks. Yeah, that's my bad.
Sorry. Correct that. I can't read
it. Okay, thanks. And student advocacy?
Okay, we're having the Dine the Chef talk on April March 12th, and I'll be forwarding you all the emails tonight that you can send out to your field so we get some more people. We have about 25 people signed up so far. We need about 75, so we need about two times as much as we have so far, in addition. But it'd be really cool if you guys come. It's going to be an interesting discussion about the whole workers' compensation, where are we students, where are we feeling like we're not students kind of thing. And it starts at 6 p.m. in the Big Red Barn. There will be food, so we hope that we'll decide that tonight.
It's always a good thing. Okay. Faculty award?
Nomination period will be open next Monday, the 3rd. And again, I'll send out an email to all the graduates and pass it on. And, is there a nomination for your favorite faculty advisor?
Okay. And diversity and international students?
So today at 7 o'clock in the Cornell Center, which is on the first floor of Willis Street Hall, we're having our first screen, having a screening of Many Rivers to Cross, documented by Henry Louis Gates on Black History. It will start, will start promptly at 7:30, so hopefully we can get all you guys to follow over to Willis Street Hall. Really excited about that. Also, we were reporting that we met and we still continue discussion on the resolution that we heard last week from SA, and several members have taken the percent at Cornell, and we're continuing discussion on that. And we also are talking about the diversity initiatives within the graduate program, some really good ideas coming up, such as a spotlight on the university website for diversity and diversity initiatives, spotlight on students that rotate monthly or bi-monthly. Also a festival to kind of a grad cultural festival that is trying to take place in the to contact me, CC942, and we'll see you later.
Okay, thank you. And at this time, we're moving to new business. So today, we're going to be electing a voting member at large. And Sid has to step down from his duty, so he has resigned, and so we'll be taking nominations for that. So if you have a nomination at this time for a voting member at large, Don?
I'd like to nominate Christy Schlara.
Christy?
Schlara.
Can you spell that for me, please?
S-C-H-Laura-F-F.
Okay. Okay. Christy Schlara. Okay, I apologize. I'm sorry. Are there? Did you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Okay, great. Are there any other nominations? Chavez?
I would like to nominate Marissa Rice.
Marissa Rice? Okay. And Marissa, do you accept?
I do.
Okay.
You can also nominate yourself.
Oh, yeah, you can nominate yourself, so if you're being shy, you don't have to be. Okay, if there are no other nominations, then what we'll do is we're going to give each, we'll give both Christy and Marissa a minute to tell us about themselves, why they think they will be great for this role, and then we have ballots going around and we will take the vote. So, start up here with Marissa.
Alright, hi, my name is Marissa Rex. I'm a PhD student in psychology. This is my first year at Cornell, but I'm a transfer student from Oklahoma State University. At OSU, I'm very involved with GPSA, and I would like to get more involved here for the grad students. I serve on two university committees at OSU, the Traffic Appeals Board, and also the Campus Facilities Safety and Security Committee. And so I mainly advocated for graduate safety through improved transportation options. So we are working on an extended bus schedule. Buses stop running at 8 p.m. and many grads work late, leaving no avenues for getting home if you didn't have a vehicle. And we are also creating a safe walk program for escorting students across campus at night. So those are some of the exciting things happening there, and I'm looking forward to seeing what we can accomplish here at Cornell. So I have the experience and the motivation, and I hope you all consider voting for me.
Thank you, Marissa. And Christy?
Is the mic working over there? I think. Okay, there you go. Okay.
My name is Christy. I'm a fourth year in the English department. This is my second year serving on the GPSA as a field representative. During that time, I've had the chance to be involved in crafting some of the resolutions, specifically Resolution 17 from last year, which was regarding graduate tuition and funding opportunities. Additionally, I've been serving on the programming board since this fall and am involved in selecting some of the fine but top secret food that you may be enjoying. Within the Department of English, I also serve as the treasurer and then the president of the English Graduate Student Organization, which is the major graduate student organization in our department, and have worked with getting funding for different speaker events and things like that. And I'd love to continue being part of the GPSA and hopefully having the ability to vote on some of the very important changes that we make to improve graduate student life. So, thank you.
Thank you, Christy. And so we'll give you about a couple minutes here. So voting rep and field rep can cast their vote at this time, and Amy will come around in a few minutes and collect those. So voting reps and field reps.
How do we get a new sign as a field rep?
She's a field rep.
You're
a field rep, okay. Then
how do I get a sign?
We'll work with Amy afterwards. Okay. Sign.
Okay, great.
Okay, has everyone had a chance to cast a ballot? Has everyone had a chance to vote? Okay, and so we'll go ahead and move into our breakout sessions, and then we'll announce after their breakout sessions. I'll give them a little time to talk here. So we're going to break out.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to explain right now. Thanks. Sorry if there's any confusion there. Okay.
Can you go back to the voting member slide?
So we're going to break out the session, so our into groups. So the next meeting on March 10th, President's Court will be here. It's always a pleasure when we come to answer our questions. And so we're working with the Office of Assemblies to make sure that we get the most out of the time. So we want to consolidate everything down to three, probably maybe at most four, probably around three major questions.
She said two to three.
Okay, two to three. Okay, two to three major questions that we want to ask him so that he can really get into the details on those topics. Usually he's able to spend maybe 3 minutes per question, 4 minutes, and he might want to spend more time. So we're going to try to choose two to three major topics. So we'll break you out. We're going to break out into physical sciences, humanities, social sciences, biological sciences. We'll have professionals together, so law, veterinary, and Johnson all together, and then engineering. So at this time, we have physical sciences over this corner, this corner here, humanities, and
the other corner,
and social sciences in this back corner to my left, biological sciences. We'll have you say biological sciences maybe at this first table here, and then professional students, if I can have you at this corner to that corner to my right, and engineering, you can just sit in this front section here. So you're
no, engineering with
okay, we'll put engineering with professionals, so there might only be a few of them. And we'll have one voting member, so I email the voting member. If one of you can take the charge of leading the discussion and taking down the questions, we appreciate that. We have 30 minutes allotted for this, so we'll probably let you stay in the breakout sessions for around 20, 25 minutes, depending on how it's going, and then we'll come back and have a discussion on what you came up with.
No, I'm going to go to professional. Yep, go ahead.
That's it? There's only three of us?
No.
Okay.
Double stage upgrade for our grad students and professional students. Also, the other topic we addressed was about mental health. We thought that maybe there is the solution we have found so far for supporting students that are subject to stress or cannot handle it anymore. Like, the solutions found so far are not good enough. Because basically we can still see a lot of us are still suffering from stress or we cannot find a solution yet. So we're going to talk about it as well and see if we can find solutions such as maybe a peer-to-peer talk or having a fair. Basically in each department so that people can stop by whenever they want.
Okay, yeah, and part of that too, we talked about the connection between potentially food and mental health and having better, healthier options that encourage higher energy levels and, you know, a better mood. So, did you have something to say on that?
I also, to the point of mental health, I don't know if everyone saw the email I forwarded from CAPS about some of the updates they've had to since their visit here. So one of the things is that they've expanded Let's Meditate, and a couple of other peer-centered ears and counseling services. So that should be somewhere in your email archive if you didn't see it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, physical sciences, a couple of things to talk about.
I'll just talk loudly. So our first one was having to pay for full tuition, like if your advisor drops you right at the end of your PhD and having to pay full tuition even though you're not using...
If your advisor, for example, doesn't have any more money for you, why should you pay full tuition when you're not really using any resources except your laptop and maybe Rip Rover? And then the second one is, I think there's been some discussion in reducing the incoming class sizes so that a larger percentage of students per class could be funded. So asking, I guess, getting Thornton's official opinion on that.
Thank you. And next we'll go to humanities.
Okay, so one of the questions we had was about MOOCs and how it would affect qualitative departments as opposed to quantitative. But there was also a question that since MOOCs, unlike online open courses, require evaluation, who's going to be doing that grading and evaluation? Would it just be on the professors, or eventually would this be opening up for other traineeships for students to do that type of work? And will there be any sort of regulation of the amount of hours that goes into this? Because as people who may be following MOOC and on them may know, it takes a lot of work to put together a MOOC. You don't get very much out of it. It takes a lot of work to put it together, a lot of unpaid work. And would they eventually be shifting some of that work from course professors to graduate students, and how would it be affected? The other question we had, when Gretchen Ritter came to talk about, she mentioned how they're going to increasingly look at private sources of funding to fund their departments. And of course, since each department speaks to very different concerns in the marketplace, how would we go about applying for this private funding? Would this be as individuals? Would this be as departments? What exactly are they envisioning there?
Thank you.
Okay, and then social sciences?
So one of the things we talked about was workers' compensation and seeing what the universities need to make sure the residents are being taken care of. That's a common theme when we talk about funding, such as the amount of guaranteed funding we get, and the cap of funding for a law field in 5 years, also about availability of summer funding. We also talked about the New York Tech campus and what effect it might have on hiring and resources here in our Ithaca campus. We also talked a lot about faculty hiring, the hiring of lecturers to replace instead of tenured professors, the effect that lecturers and adjunct faculty may have on graduate students. Also talking about how certain faculty may be staying on longer for benefits as opposed to possibly retiring early. And then we also talked about diversity hiring of faculty and making sure that it matches up with the diversity makeup of graduate students.
Thank you. Biological sciences?
Okay, so some of the main things that we talked about, noting that the Board of Trustees has a retreat dealing with the future of universities in America, finding out a bit about the outcome of that retreat, and in particular, concern to the plans is how President Swerton sees the future of TALS in that context and the relationship to the state side of graduate education, particularly public universities are potentially going to have problems moving forward. So both from the Cornell side and also the New York State side. Their interest and involvement in continuing to work with Cornell. And also so noting his response to the divestment resolution, referring to the challenges of income inequality and environmental challenges, looking at or asking what sort of work he's doing and advocacy in the area of student loans and broader research funding in general.
Okay, great. Thanks. If you can make sure that the questions that your group came up with, that they go to Liz, and then the meetings that we can kind of work to distill them. We'll try to find common themes and also work with the Office of Assembly to see which one might be of greatest interest in the entire assembly. So please make sure you get those to Liz. And thanks. We appreciate your input, and we want to make sure this is a great experience for everyone, and that everyone feels like they're getting something out of their time, presence, for them. So we appreciate it.
And I mentioned this to my group, but even if these questions aren't talked about at the next meeting, they will be sent on to the appropriate body. So, if, for example, we're trying to get the provost to come. Modi's reached out to him several times. And we're trying to also make sure that we have, in these continuing conversations we have at the graduate school, to make sure to bring up these concerns. So it's really helpful that we had this opportunity to talk cross-discipline and come up with these various topics. So even if it's not the next meeting, it will be talked about somewhere. Okay?
Okay, thanks. And before we go to open forum, I'll announce the results of the election. So our new voting member at large will be Christy. Okay, and at this time we will go into open forum. Would anyone like to speak? If not, then
motion to adjourn.
Seconded. Okay, put your time back on your calendar. Thanks, everyone. And look forward to the next time meeting with you with President Fordham.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.